Hey, you know how Black Friday sales are the best savings of the year? Well, what if we told you Wayfair's bringing Black Friday to July? That's right. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is Black Friday in July. And it's on its way. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, way more doorbuster deals on top products and 24-hour surprise flash deals. Oh, and did we mention free shipping on everything? Everything. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer and the best time to make your home even more you. But it only lasts 5 days, so don't miss out. Mark your calendars, then head to Wayfair for up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the summer. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale, July 24th through 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Harvard University, the great Harvard University of the United States of America, is under extreme duress right now because of a contest with the Trump administration over what we're told was the behavior of the college following the unacceptable anti-Semitic activities of 2024. The behavior of the college is critical to the Trump administration, we're told, because it is the opinion of the president and his counselors that Harvard has not done enough either to protect Jewish students or to redress the damages that were done in 2024. That is one complaint, and I welcome Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing his column for Real Clear Politics at this moment about an aspect of this having to do with the Harvard Law School. Now, why that is part of the whole is that Harvard has a number of extremely sophisticated schools, and its endowment is divided between the schools. So it's not all one place, but they are all representing the right now the threat to Harvard represented by the Trump administration, because the claim, the assertion, the evidence of anti-Semitic behavior permitted and not redressed on campus leads to the Trump administration saying, we will withhold funds, grants, and funds that are exchanged between the U.S. government and institutions, even private institutions, and that's part of the relationship, until and if that institution demonstrates it's not worthy of those grants and funds from the U.S. government, and then you're on your own. There are other complaints, but that will do. Peter, a very good evening to you. As I understand it, the complaint about anti-Semitism has not been, according to the Trump people, adequately responded to by Harvard. Is that your opinion as well? And I mentioned that Professor Berkowitz taught at Harvard in the late 20th century, entered into a tenure dispute with Harvard, and there was a lawsuit. So Peter has experience with Harvard both as a teacher, as someone who was in the Harvard yard routinely, had students there, and then disputed with the Harvard administration, which, to describe the Harvard administration in my experience, is like describing the empire of the Byzantium. Peter, a very good evening to you. Your measure right now of this assertion by the Trump administration that Harvard has not redressed the anti-Semitism, is that correct in your measure? Good evening to you, Peter.
Good evening. I think it's clear, yes, that Harvard has not taken all the steps it needed to take to meet reasonable demands of the Trump administration, that it that ensure the safety of Jewish students, that ensure that they're not be subject to harassment and intimidation, and to investigate the students on campus who are responsible for harassment, intimidation, and commandeering university property last year. Yes,
and in not responding adequately, that opened Harvard to a moment for the Trump administration that surely you could see it coming from the moment the election was decided for Mr. Trump, overwhelmingly decided, majority sweeping the states that were in question, all of that. Harvard could see it. Harvard could see that it's coming our way. Harvard could see that anti-Semitism increasingly over the months before Mr. Trump took office and then subsequently was a major concern. There's an actual group formed by the Trump administration to examine how universities have responded. Harvard could be in conversation with that. So a puzzling question, a rhetorical question, Peter. It is surprising to me that there was no plan B, that there was no accounting to the U.S. government about here's what we're doing, here's what we're going to do, here's the mistakes we made, and come and help us understand what more we can do. Why? That didn't happen, and why not?
Well, first, John, I want to agree with you that the Trump administration would double down, would send a second letter, which made, in my judgment, extreme demands on Harvard University, is a foreseeable consequence of Harvard University not cooperating with the Trump administration's initial request to do more to combat anti-Semitism. Second, it seems to me a very bad look for Harvard not to be aggressively pursuing anti-Semitism. Why wouldn't the university want to eliminate harassment and intimidation of its Jewish students, especially since it has operated with such alacrity, indeed with such disregard of other people's rights in pursuing other forms of discrimination? Now, of course, the Harvard board, which is responsible for a $53 billion endowment and generally operates in considerable secrecy, does not like being told what to do. On the other hand, we have a lot of experience with Donald Trump now, not just his 40-year career as a real estate businessman and a reality TV star, but 4 years in the presidency, 4 years afterward, and his campaign, and now in the White House. It was reasonable to suppose that if Harvard University did not cooperate smoothly with the Trump administration would double down, and it did with a letter from about a week ago, 10 days ago maybe, that did actually make some extraordinary demands on the university that went well beyond specific complaints about anti-Semitism.
The university is a great big umbrella. We're going to get very focused now with Peter's column's attention to a letter to Harvard Law School students written by the Harvard Law School faculty, 96 voting members. This letter indicates that the Harvard Law School is making a principled stand, a legalistic stand. How to characterize this letter, Peter, correctly?
Well, this letter was written before the latest round over anti-Semitism. As you said, a supermajority of Harvard Law School professors, not using Harvard stationery, not on the Harvard Law School website, not using their titles, but nevertheless, a supermajority published a letter saying that they feared for the rule of law. And the reason in the United States, and the reason they feared for the rule of law, is because government leaders, they were obviously referring to the Trump administration, were singling out lawyers and law firms for retribution based on the people they were representing, based also on their role in supporting conspiracies against Trump during his first administration. And the law professors expressed concern about the rule of law. They also expressed concern about freedom of speech in America, because the Trump administration was seeking to deport holders of green cards and visas who were a potential threat to America's foreign affairs. That's the language of Secretary Rubio. And the small point I tried to make is, if these professors were really concerned about the rule of law rather than the progressive agenda, well, then they should have risen up and spoken out over the last 15 years, over the course of which there's been a whole train of abuses of the legal system, especially criminal justice, to benefit the progressive agenda.
Peter, the puzzle here is Harvard, all the faculties at Harvard all have their unique approach. There's no common purpose. But the university right now, I think, is in an existential risk, because since the original letter about anti-Semitism, we've moved on to the Trump administration's measure that Harvard has not adequately responded to its concern about DEI at institutions that receive government grants. And then the Trump administration has indicated that if you do not react in a positive way to our complaints, we will seek to take away your nonprofit status, which would be, well, Peter, there's, you know, a bombing, and then there's that. And I can't imagine this a way more to discourage students and faculty than that. So Harvard right now, in your measure, is the Harvard Law School, let's say to that, because are they responding to the facts on the ground, not just this idea of going to cite the Supreme Court to us why you shouldn't do this?
Well, I think Harvard is now in a new position. This is post letter. The Harvard law professors were, I think, to be generous, to be fair, now we're weighing in because on one specific issue, an attack on law firms, an attack and what they regarded as unfair treatment of students holding green cards and visas. But we're in a new moment now after the Trump administration issued big demands, as you said, John, not just about anti-Semitism and DEI, Trump envisages the government exercising oversight of appointments to Harvard departments, which it deems unbalanced, exercising oversight over the admissions process. I think the university is right. It can't agree to these measures. Therefore, what it really should be doing, the whole university led by the president, is entering into negotiations with the Trump administration to settle this matter. And it has to be said, at least in my opinion, most of the complaints of the Trump administration are well-founded. Yes, the Harvard departments are extremely unbalanced. Yes, Harvard University engages in indoctrination rather than education. Yes, the admissions process seems to select for a certain kind of student with a revolutionary spirit. All this is true, but it would not be good for Harvard or American universities for the federal government to be administering them either. This is the time for negotiations.
Ralph Waldo Emerson, when you strike at a king, you must kill him. That's Shakespeare, but it also applies to what we're witnessing right now. When we come back, what is to be done? I'm speaking with Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing his column at Real Clear Politics about the moving story. It's escalating, and we can't get in front of it. We just have to anticipate.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.